did. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit just ties everything together. The message, I mean, the things that Timmy said in between the song when I was sitting there, he said it, he's talking about promises. Okay? You know, and I didn't realize even when I got this how it tied in from Brother Copeland. And it's like I'm looking down now. It's, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. Because the title of today's message is Praying His Will Brings Results. Praying the promises of God that are written down in our Bibles, they are sure. They are guaranteed to bring positive results. When you're praying the written word of God. In Romans 4:16, it says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. I'm talking about us. Whether we need healing, protection, prosperity, or any other blessing God has promised, it takes faith to receive it. It is going to take, though, making God's word final authority in our lives. Now again, that Romans 4:16, amplified, though. I like that. It says, therefore, inheriting. That's talking about us. Inheriting. The promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith. Part of our inheritance, the promises. And how do we receive them? Faith. Depends entirely on faith. In order that it might be given as an act of grace. Unmerited favor. To make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all those who believe. Father Abraham, you believe? That's what it did. So that we do, we have what? We have an inheritance, and it's the promises that were made to him. Promises. And one of the promises was Jesus, part of that lineage. That's his seed, if Jesus, is how we got involved in all this and become heirs. It's all part of the promise. And by Jesus coming, he sealed the deal. He sealed it. As we release our faith, it allows grace, God's unmerited favor, to flow to us. It will flow to us. I've heard a lot of testimonies. I was going to say stories, but to me they're testimonies of things that have happened in people's lives. And it's basically the favor of God. The favor of God. You aren't even aware of it sometimes, the rewards you get. Some are, some aren't. They just keep going. Wow. They didn't realize that was God because of what they did in their being willing and obedient for different things, it's like a reward. And when you get it, though, you got to be thankful for it. He really likes it when you say, hey, thank you. That's all he wanted to hear. Thank you. And if we put the word first, we'll be successful. But if we don't put the word first, if we instead hold on to traditions of men, we won't be in a position to receive from God. Let that sink in for a second. Because in Matthew 15:6, thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions. And one tradition that has hindered the body of Christ for years is praying, if it be your will. If it be your will. Sounds very humble, doesn't it? But it is simply unbelief. Unbelief is an absence of faith. It simply means you don't know God's will for the situation you are in. And this will tie God's hands in your life because there is no faith. See, you have chosen to simply believe God. You have simply chosen to not believe God instead of just to simply believe. Because in Luke chapter 8, verse 50, Jesus said, do not be seized with alarm. Did you hear what he said? No matter what you're up against, he said, don't be seized with alarm or struck with fear. Simply believe. It's what he says. Simply believe in me as able to do this. To do what? What we've been asking him to do. He will heal our land. America will be saved. Amen. Faith begins where the will of God is known. The word of God is the will of God. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Word up. The more you word up, the more you're going to grow up. Amen. You can have faith for whatever the Bible says is God's will. But we have to word up to know the will of God. I like Brother Copeland where he says, and he says this all the time, God is a good God. God is a good God. And we know God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Well, then that must mean this, that his will is good. In fact, everything in his will is good for us. We can see God's will in the Garden of Eden, in heaven, and in Jesus' ministry. The garden was a little copy of heaven. It was a beautiful place where Adam and Eve stayed and all their needs were fully met. And everything was good. everything was good. Everything God created was good. Because he's a good God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good, suitable, pleasant, and he approved it completely. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now that was 31, that was the finish of the sixth day. Okay? Finished of the sixth day. So, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. God did not rest because he was fatigued and tired. No. He rested because of his accomplishments. You don't rest from your tired after you poured and you finished that concrete. You sit back and you go, wow, look at that. Wow. He understands. It's not that he's tired. He's looking at it because it's an accomplishment. God looks at it the same way. That was his accomplishment. The verb translated as rested is related to the word Sabbath, which means to rest. See, many assume that the basic meaning of the word Sabbath is worship. But see, this is not the case. By God's blessed inactivity on this seventh day, he showed he was satisfied with the work he had done. When we come into the house, we come here to rest, to reflect on what God accomplished. That's what you're supposed to do on this day. And you do that through your praise and your worship. So, it's not about you having to come in here and go, chink, I made it. It's not about that. You can chink that all the time to come. He don't look at that. He's looking at your heart. He wants to know why you're here. What are you here for? You think you're going to get points? Nah, that ain't going to work. Because he's looking at your heart. In the garden, though, there was no sickness, there was no disease, and there was no lack. Not until man sinned. It was a copy of heaven. See, and in heaven there is no sickness, no disease, there's no lack in heaven because of God's will. That is what is being done there in heaven, his will. We could have that right now. If somebody would have said, hey, I ain't eating of this. No. I mean, that's my, whether that's how it happened, I don't know, but, just took a nibble. That's all it takes. And then the devil took over. See, because when he made this earth, it was good. But when it got turned over to the devil, look what he's done. Sickness and disease, hallelujah. Plagues, viruses, hallelujah. Chaos, corruption, hallelujah. Lying, cheating, stealing, killing, murdering innocent babies. Jesus, forgive us. From the very beginning, God's will has been to bless man with good. That has never changed. Malachi 3:6, God says, I am the Lord. I do not change. To see the perfect will of God in manifestation on the earth, all we have to do is look at Jesus' ministry. Yeah, she'll look at that video and say, oh, he did it. Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. Now, according to what that says right there, he said every healing, every miracle, and every wonderful thing Jesus did was the perfect will of God. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, I like the Passion Translation right here. Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with great power. He did wonderful things for others and divinely healed all who were under the tyranny of the devil. For God had anointed him. God anointed Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit to reclaim this earth for the purpose he had created it. And even in his prayer, what did he say? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he wanted us to pray. Praying, your will be done. He was praying for God's perfect purpose. His perfect purpose will be accomplished in this world. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, folks. He never changes. Because it wasn't about his will. No. It was all about the Father's will. It was not about Jesus at all. It's all about God. What God intended when he created this, and he created us. Jesus said, not my will, but thine, or your will. I like that. Not my will, but thine be done. Seven words. Not my will, but thine be done. Very important. And we need to keep them in mind when we come to the Lord in prayer. That's why it's so important to know His will. While He can work all things for our good, it is never about us. It is and must always be about Him. His will done His way in our lives. Jesus proclaimed in Luke 4, 18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me." God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with great power. Okay, I had to back and remind you of that back there in Acts. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." And the good news that the poor don't have to be poor no more. "He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, those in despair, having the feeling of no longer having any hope or any expectation of a future. To proclaim liberty to the captives." That was to let everyone know there is freedom from the devil's control. He doesn't have any control unless you let Him. You hear that? Unless you let Him. He starts talking to you, tell Him, shut up. Tell Him, shut up. And if He keeps talking, start praising God. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noon, Jesus when the sun comes down. Whatever, you get into some praise and worship. That voice will get shut down real quick. Goes on to say, "And recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Verse 19, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." But what does it mean when someone is oppressed? I'm going to be right straight from the dictionary. It is the exercise of authority or power as an act of subjecting someone in a burdensome, cruel, or unjust manner. The state of being oppressed, the feeling of being heavily burdened mentally or physically by troubles, adverse conditions, and pastors add a note, unconstitutional, unlawful mandates, and executive orders issued at the federal, state, and local levels of the government, used to oppress we the people. The government can't take away our ability to pray. They cannot. And they can't take our faith. They cannot take our faith away from us. Hallelujah. Verse 19, what did He say? "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." It is not a literal year here, but rather a space of time that is characterized by God's grace, redemption, and deliverance. The coming of Jesus into the world ushered in the acceptable year of the Lord. The time of God's grace, redemption, and deliverance is now. It's right now. It's at hand. And all are invited to come to Christ in repentance and by faith receive the gift of eternal life. The acceptable year of the Lord. is also translated favorable year of the Lord, or the year of the Lord's favor. Well, I declare that this is the year of the Lord's grace, His unmerited favor. I'm not talking about 2021. I'm talking a long time here. That's what I'm declaring. And I hope you agree with that. And according to 1 John 3, 8, it says, "For this purpose the Son of God was made manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Works of the devil. I'll give you one word. Sin. Sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, 24. And Peter talking about Jesus. Jesus, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. Jesus Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Our sins. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So that's why when you claim and say, "I am healed by the stripes of Jesus," because that's what He did it for. He did it for you. He did it for everyone. So we're healed. If He healed you, then you are healed. Lying signs and wonders, come on. But there have been a lot of attacks in the body. Not just in this body, but all over the body. And we got to stand together. We got to be there to comfort one another, to encourage one another. Because they're going through it personally, but they got a family. Someone in their family is going through it, going through something. They need encouragement. They need encouraged by the Word. Not by your viewpoint, but by what the Word says. You come back and you give them the Word, and that's what will give them hope. That's what will give them hope. That will give them the expectation of what you're praying for, and what they're praying for is going to happen for them. Because they'll learn to simply believe, as God is able to do this. Do what? What they've asked for. Whether it's a healing in your physical body or a family member's physical body or in the finances. Healing. By His death on the cross, He did away with sin. Now people, when asked the question, what He redeemed them from, what the answer? They'll say, sin, I guess. No. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 tells us not only the story, or tells us the answer to this question, but also exactly to what happened at Calvary. Are you ready? Christ has redeemed us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." That the blessing of Abraham, the promises, might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. You accepted Jesus, you've been adopted in. That's your brother. And he has a great inheritance, and you get to share that inheritance with Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. Sickness and disease are in the curse of the law. We redeemed from sickness and disease. And I like what it says also, and it goes on that in Deuteronomy 28, verse 61, it records that every sickness, every plague, not written in the book of the law, is under the curse. And he redeemed you from the curse. And that includes the CCP virus. Name it for what it is. The CCP virus is what it is. Man-made. Used to attack the people. You know, Satan doesn't care whether they're Christian or non-Christian. This was to all people. To all people. So we are redeemed. You can turn to Psalm 107, 107 verses 1 and 2. But you can say, I'm redeemed from sickness. It's good, say it. And disease. And every plague. Known or unknown. The man. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. God is a good God. For his mercy endures for a day. Huh? Ah, okay. Making sure. Yeah, forever. His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Say it boldly. You know, I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
You got to be loud with it. He don't need to hear it. You need to hear it. And if you don't speak it loud enough, you don't even hear yourself. But when you speak it loud enough, you're going to listen to yourself. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has delivered and redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Delivered you from the hand of the enemy. Now, if you look down to verses 19 and 20, you ready? Lord, help! With an exclamation point after it. Lord, help! They cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them. Healed. Healed. Is that not past tense? Okay. Snatching them from the door of death. It can be that close. But when you yell out loud enough, Lord, help! Because sometimes you're at that circumstance. You got to do that. And he does hear. And he does respond. Especially when you're reaching out in faith. Choose to believe God's word and speak the end result you desire. The promise of God for your life. Jesus came proclaiming God's word to people. Those who received that word and received him as sent by God also received what God had for them. Salvation, healing, deliverance, whatever they needed. And God hasn't changed his mind. Jesus operated in the earth by the Word. He defeated the works of the devil with, "It is written." We are to do the same. And then it's going to take faith. You just got to have faith. Base your faith on the Word. If we try to receive from God without planting the seed of the Word, it's difficult. Faith is a seed. If you don't plant it, it won't grow. And praying, "If it be your will," won't produce a harvest in any area where the Word of God tells you what His will is. It would be like a farmer sitting on his porch in his rocking chair going back and forth. Said, "Yeah, I'm believing for that crop." Yet he hasn't planted one seed. Then he says, "But if it's God's will, I'm going to have me a great harvest." He never planted a seed. There ain't going to be no harvest. You got to plant the seed. You got to plant the Word of God so that you have something to stand on. "If it be your will" is a prayer of dedication. It is for situations in which you don't know God's Word or His will. When something is not written in a Word, then we can pray a prayer like, Charlie, I thought of you. "Lord, if it's your will, I'll go to Africa." Charles is always talking about Africa. He wants to go back there. Flo just wants to go to Italy. But my point is, it is not a prayer that will change things. Faith is what changes things in the physical realm. Because we know faith is the substance or the assurance, the confirmation, the very title deed of things we hope for, things we expect. Being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And how does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes from believing the promise of God. If we don't know what God said about something, we don't have any basis for our faith. You got to know what someone says. And by the way, Anthony is not in the lawnmower business and cutting grass, just so you know. He says, man, he had more calls for people to cut his grass. But see, that's not what he said. It was just used as a demonstration. That's not what he said. Now, he did make me a promise. He said, "I'll cut your grass a couple times for you while I got back and he was getting on my feet." And he come down here, and God bless me, went out there, and driving my tractor, I never had a problem. But the muffler fell off. He had to fix that, and a couple other things. But he did what he said he would do, and I believed he would, and he did. And then I was able to locate and get someone to come cut my grass. Because I don't cut grass no more. Now riding that lawnmower is over here at church, that became Dean's job. Dean and Keith's. Hallelujah. See, it's our responsibility to word up and find out what he said. In Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22, said, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body." Standing on the Word of God makes God's power available to us. God has given us His Word to teach us about Himself, to teach us how He thinks and what His will is, so we can learn to agree with Him. We will have success in whatever areas we learn to agree with God, both in our words and our actions. Faith without action is... So it's our words and our actions. They must agree with His will. Once you find the will of God in any situation, and you heard me right, any situation, you will then know the will of God and how to correctly pray with guaranteed results. He said it. I'm just telling you what He said. Oh, is that what pastor said? No, that's not what the pastor said. That's what the Word of God says. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee. Him and Jesus took care of things for us. They did the will of the Father, and Jesus is in heaven. He's reigning on high, and we're supposed to be reigning with Him. Not somebody reigning over us. We're the ecclesia. We're to be reigning and ruling. Not to be quiet and silent. Romans 10:8. Romans 10:8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. Word of faith. If we need a mountain moved in our lives, it requires believing God with our whole heart and speaking out our mouth. The spirit of faith says what the Word says. Mark 11:23-24. You see that? It's about speaking and praying. But what does verse 22 say? There's the key to those two verses. Have faith. Have faith. Have the God kind of faith. I know Scripture says have faith in God, but you are to have the God kind of faith. And when you do that, when you pray and you're believing that you receive, you have it. Powered by faith. Oh, and then make sure you have a forgiving heart. God, if you hold something against somebody, you're going to stop up everything. They're going to stop it up. Then we got to get good old high-pressure water blasters of them. Clean it out through the Word. Make way so that it can flow to us. Faith makes a choice. Then it stands on the decision based on the Word until the manifestation comes. But when you say, if it be your will, that says you have not made a choice. It means you don't believe. You haven't made a choice to stand on the Word of God. And people who even know the Word of God won't stand on it. I just look at them and go, ah, wait a minute. So you got to pray that our eyes of understanding be enlightened and opened up to understanding the perfect will of God, what He has for their life. And it's to be a life of abundance, life of health, happiness, prosperity, divine health. If you need a healing, divine healing. That's what God wants for us. Everything He wants for us is deals with the word good. Good. Choose to believe God's word and speak the desired result, the promise of God for your life. For when you find out God's will for a specific situation and you get in agreement with His will, you can then pray in faith. Faith will reach out and grab hold of the anointing of God to change whatever needs to be changed in your life. Amen. Father, I thank You for this word that went forth. Lord God, I thank You that we do understand that we need to have the time in Your word. We need to set a time every day to be in Your word. And Lord, we can pray constantly all day long. But there is that time when we need to go into that private prayer closet. Lord God, I thank You that we see the importance to learning and knowing what Your will is for us and to understand who we are in You. And we are mighty in You. We are overcomers. We are conquerors. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen.